Good morning. Belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you in Jesus' name. And so this is the day that the Lord has made. Yes, what a joy. It's indeed a joy, the joy to be a part of God's blessed, wonderful gift of New Year. This is something that, I don't know about you, but I look forward to every year that I can be a part of God's gift of New Year after Christmas. So I want to welcome each of you to today's worship service and pray God's blessing upon us as we worship in true and in the Spirit. With that, let me invite you to take note of the announcements. They are on the screens as well as inserts in your bulletins. Please continue to be a part of those that require actions so that together as a team, we have ministries and missions done. In the name of Jesus. Let's take a moment and, yes.
We're going to take down all the Christmas decorations after church today. So anyone who can stay and help will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
All right. That's one of the announcements. After service today, we're going to be taking down all of the decorations that we put in here. The candles, the lights, Christmas lights, trees, and everything. So if you are able, that would be a working party, that's for sure. A working party. That's good. How about you turn to the person next to you and just reassure them, Jesus loves you, so do I. Amen. That's what we are all about. We are about to share, we are about sharing God's love with each other. And today is a special day because it is first Sunday. First Sunday to begin the year with communion with each other and with Jesus. So I'm going to just quickly go over some of the announcements, some of which are not in there. One, the first thing is because of the frenzies of the holidays, we were not able to get the newsletter out. People were busy doing something else, so we didn't get articles to help us get the newsletter out. But I can assure you, early next week, by Tuesday, the first thing we work on will be the newsletter. You can look forward to receiving them in your email, and they will be mailed to those of you who need hard copies. So that's the first thing I want to talk about. You have this as inserts in your bulletins. This is the announcement, obituary actually, from Meredith across here about Hilda Ayers. So please take note of that. If you can be here on Wednesday, that would be wonderful too. And let's not forget to keep in touch. Please make sure you register your presence in here. It helps us to keep in touch, especially to those of you who are visiting with us. We love to keep in touch with those who come to visit with us. So please make sure you give us enough information about yourself and we will keep in touch with you. Okay. Grief share continues, and that would be about it. But as we go on, I'm going to let you know that 7 16, which is our closing hymn, is not going to be that one. It's going to be 715 instead of 716. So please take note of that. When I forget, just remember. So I'm saying it so that I put a burden on your shoulder, not mine. Thank you. Thank you. With that, how about if you feel comfortable and able, how about you rise for the call to worship? This is the reign of the righteous King. Give the King your justice, O God. May he judge your people with righteousness. May the mountains bear prosperity for the people. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to children of the needy. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. Amen. May we please remain standing as we sing the hymn, Angels from the Reigns of Glory. Please join me in the opening prayer. Eternal and merciful God, you are the radiance of faithful souls. You brought the nations to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. The heavens and earth are full of your glory, and the skies proclaim the works of your hands. Day after day, pour forth speech. Night after night, they revealed knowledge. You filled the world with your glory, and show yourself to the people of all nations, tribes, and cultures, O God. Renew us in hearts, minds, and spirits through him who is the true and unquenchable light, the bright and morning star, even Jesus the Christ. Amen. Lord, invite to his table all who love him, and I truly sorry for all their sins. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us now prepare our hearts for Christ's compassion and love to flow in us, so that through us the world might experience the transforming power of Christ's redemptive work demonstrated on the cross for our sake. On the night before his betrayal and trial, Jesus shared one last meal with his disciples. What could he do to empower them to continue his redemptive work when he was gone back to heaven? Jesus loved his followers, and his heart went out to them. He took bread, said a prayer to heaven, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." And after a while, Jesus took a cup of grape juice, said a prayer to heaven, and gave it to his friends again, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many." He instructed them, "Remember him whenever they eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Body of Christ broken for you, for me, and for many more. Christ's blood shared for you, for me, and for many others. The table is ready. We would invite the ushers to come forward to help us serve.
taste and see, oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see, oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. Taste and see, oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see, oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. Body of Christ, broken that we may be whole. This cup as promised by God, true to His word, cradles our Lord. The good of my soul. This is the body of Christ, broken that we may be whole. This cup as promised by God, true to His word, cradles our Lord. Food for the good of the soul. Body of Christ, broken that we may be whole. This cup as promised by God, true to His word, cradles our Lord. For the good of the soul, food for the good of my soul, food for the good of my soul, food for the good of the soul.
Let us join together in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this, for the mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you. Let's do the Apostles' Creed. I guess that's what Connie was waiting for.
All right, the New Testament.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay. All right, the New Testament reading is Ephesians 3, 1 through 12. I, Paul, am a prisoner because of Christ Jesus. I am in prison because of my work among you who are Gentiles. I am sure you have heard that God appointed me to share his grace with you. I am talking about the mystery God showed me. I have already written a little about it. By reading about this mystery, you will be able to understand what I know. You will know about the mystery of Christ. The mystery was not made known to people of other times, but now the Holy Spirit has made this mystery known to God's holy apostles and prophets. Here is the mystery. Because of the good news, God's promises are for Gentiles as well as for Jews. Both groups are parts of one body. They share in the promise. It belongs to them because they belong to Christ Jesus. I now serve the good news because God gave me his grace. His power is at work in me. I am by far the least important of all the Lord's holy people, but he gave me the grace to preach to the Gentiles about the unlimited riches that Christ gives. God told me to make clear to everyone how the mystery came about. In times past, it was kept hidden in the mind of God who created all things. He wanted the rulers and authorities in the heavenly world to come to know his great wisdom. The church would make it known to them. That was God's plan from the beginning. He has fulfilled his plan through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and through faith in him, we can approach God. We can come to him freely. We can come without fear. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
you, choir. Thank you, Christine. Thanks, everybody. Let me invite us to the gospel reading this morning that comes from the second chapter of Matthew, first 12 verses. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. This happened while Herod was king of Judea. After Jesus' birth, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the child who has been born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star on the road. Now we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about it, he was very upset. Everyone in Jerusalem was troubled too. So Herod called together all the chief priests of the people. He also called the teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was going to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "This is what the prophet has written." He said, "But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, I certainly not the least important among the towns of Judah. A ruler will come out of you. He will rule my people Israel like a shepherd." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men. He found out from them exactly when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem. He said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report it to me. Then I can go and worship him too." After the wise men had listened to the king, they went on their way. The star they had seen when the rose went ahead of them. They found it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. The wise men went to the house. There they saw the child with his mother Mary. Bow down and worship him. Then they opened their treasures. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they returned to their country on a different road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. I want to invite us to look at the Christmas story in this new year, because God is making everything new. God is making a new world. God is making a new people. God is making, he's bringing us a new king that we can trust, that we can live by his instruction. And so what I've tried to do here is to look at some of the mysteries that were involved in the coming of this wonderful mystery, which is the gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ, God taking on the form of human being and living among us. There were so many mysteries that God put into place before this kind of mystery happened. And I'm calling the coming of Christ one of God's greatest mysteries of the world. Because the coming of Christ was a mystery. There were so many different mysteries that God had to perform before he could get to the main mystery of having Christ, the newborn king, come into the world. And I can just maybe invite us to take a look back and look at some of the mysteries that accompanied the coming of Jesus. I can think of one of them being the birth of John the Baptist. You know how John was born and by whom? John was born by the act of God's mystery, because we're talking about Zechariah, the father, and we talk about Elizabeth, the mom, both of whom were advanced according to scripture in age. And we know what that means when we talk about people being advanced in age. Sometimes they lose the ability of being able to have a child. But again, God is able. God is the God of mysteries. And so God made it possible that Elizabeth was able to have a child even after she had, from conventional wisdom, has passed the age of bearing a child. Because, again, God is a God of mysteries. It paved the way for a bigger mystery. And so we can see that there's another mystery that's going to follow this particular mystery of someone who has passed way past the age of childbearing, which is the mystery of having the king Herod, hearing about this child's birth, and he's upset. What's the mystery about that? I see that as a mystery because when one talks about a king coming, the normal response is not to be upset. The normal response is not to be upset. The normal response for the news of the coming king, especially so the Messiah that has been expected so long, at least in Israel at the time, would have been, oh yes, the Messiah is coming. But again, this is the world that we live in. We see two struggles coming together. The power of God being represented by this news of the coming of the king, the Messiah, the child, and the power of the word being represented by Herod. That's a mystery. We know that. I don't think too many people knew that. That there were two powers that were going to be acting against each other from the very beginning of this child's birth. Of course, the child is born eventually. And we know how this child was born. Greatest mystery. The child is born by a young girl, probably between the ages of 12 and 14, in a culture that was very hostile, very strict. But the one thing that I don't hear, in the culture that when it came to relationship between a man and a woman, it has special rules that one has to follow. And no one dare violate those rules. But we could see that Mary violated that. And there was no mouth open. We don't hear about her being condemned. But because God is a God of mystery. Why? Why is Mary not being condemned? Because with God, all things are possible. She carries this baby to full term and gave birth. We don't hear about the high priest. We don't hear about the council in Jerusalem citing her. We don't hear about anybody summoning her to investigation. We don't hear her parents being chastised in any way. We don't hear Joseph. The child is born. The distance at which the child was born was a little bit away from where the wise men, the magi, were. Where the shepherds were watching over their sheep by night. I see that as another mystery. How is it that God is not revealing what God is doing to his glory to the top religious leaders, but to the shepherds? God is not doing that. God is very, very wise. Even the wisest of all the wise. Think about. And this child birth has been announced not to the king, even though he's going to be born king, but he's been born in an unlikely setting as well. With the sheep and the shepherds in the east have been informed about this child's birth, not by email, not by telegram, but by the star. I don't know if you're following where we're going with this, but I'm following the development of this child, the processes that God is that I kind of unfolding, I imagine in my mind, they are all unconventional. They are not common. I don't know how many of us here will look at the stars and say, God is saying this to me. And I don't know if the Magi were able to actually tell whether it was God who was leading them, but yet they were made willing to follow the star, even though they knew there was something strange about this star. There were so many stars in the air, in the sky at that time, but there was something special about this one star, and they had to follow it. We saw his star. And we have come to worship him. Where the words and terror is furious. He had his own plan. He had his own plan. Is that not true? Is that not true of the world that we live in? God has his own plan. And the world has its own plan. And sometimes the plan of the world don't normally agree with the plans of God. I don't think we're going too far with the word. How about ourselves? Sometimes we have our own plans and God's plans for us seem to conflict with our own plans. So I want us to take some cues from here, from the wise men, so that you and myself, we are beginning the new year. Oh, there were wonderful services around as usual, the new year, Christmas Eve, all of those. There are worship that are acceptable to God. Types of worship that are acceptable to God, kinds of worship that are acceptable to God, and there are some that are not just acceptable. But I'm going to be talking about those that are the ones that are acceptable to God. And we can take those cues from the man-child. This is this man, this young king that was born. God taking the flesh, the bones, the blood of human beings mixed at this field. The first thing that we learn from the Magi's worship of the king, I don't know. But for me, there was this special thing about this child that they went meeting the child, they met this child with joy. I would be like, I don't know what this child is going to be like. But it was not the case. It was not the case with these men. For them, by the time they approached the child and maybe set their eyes on the child, there was this inner joy within them. And you talk about joy. We're not talking about joy that is based on our circumstance. We're talking about the inner joy that is prompted by the Spirit of God. So that God, the word that Paul used in the New Testament, the origin of that word is charaia, which is the Greek word for just being cheerful. Just being so glad, exceedingly glad that they were able to meet this young baby. I don't know what was so special about this child, but rather the star was so special. Rather all of the mysteries that surround this young baby, I don't know if I would be really glad, even with all of the mystery that I don't understand, but there was something that sprang out of them. That they were so cheerful. That they were so cheerful. And the only thing that I can think about that might have been the reason why they were, it was because it was one of the very purpose for this child coming into the world. So that those who believe in this child and listen to this child as he grows up, as he becomes the savior of the world, this child's words will take root in their hearts and fill them with that inner joy. The joy that no one can take away. And that's the joy that struck out of those men. And so God is saying something to us here. That we live in the world that there's so much sadness. There are so much sorrows. And Jesus said he's come. So that those of us who believe in him, because when he spoke to the disciples in John 15 chapter, He says to them, I am saying this to you so that you will believe in me, and so that when my word is in you, your joy might be complete. We have so much sadness. Believing in Jesus gives us that inner joy. The joy that takes away our fear. The joy that overcomes uncertainty. The joy that overcomes doubts. The joy that is not contingent on what my situation is today or what it's going to be tomorrow. But the joy that is based on believing in Christ and allowing Christ's Spirit to fill us and to give us that inner peace that we can trust Him. The joy that overflows with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The next, so that when we come to the when we come to the house of God, you know, I love this, a song that I don't know how to sing. It says, burdens are laid on Calvary. Because at the foot of the cross where we bring all of our burdens. I love how most African churches, even here in this country, when you enter their worship services, it's like no problem in the world. Because burdens are laid at the feet of the cross. We come to church, we come with our burdens, we have the joy that there is someone called God, there's someone called Jesus, upon whom we can lay all of these burdens so that we are set free. We are not weighed down. We have the joy to worship freely. We have the joy. The next thing that the Magi teach us about worship is the fact that when the God, when they approach this child with this joy, with these cheerful hearts, it moves them to open their treasure. Move them to open their treasure. Yeah. Now, I don't know how much they have. But I know of shepherds. Maybe shepherds were not in the... They were not among the 1% economic class, because they would have to be in the core to make a living. So I can tell that they were not in the 1% bracket of the economy of their time. They were not working with the king or the emperor. They were shepherding their sheep, but yet they were able to give. Giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. And we give as the Lord has laid on our hearts and we've made up our mind to give. It's not based on how much we have. We are giving because we know that the one who gave us is able to in fact multiply. We can trust Him for the days ahead. And so the shepherd set us the example. They gave gold, frankincense, high price incense, oil that is burned in incense, and they also gave myrrh. Expensive material. But we can also give other things. We may not have gold, we may not have silver. I love how Paul would say it. say, but in gold have we not, what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus, we give our talents. We give our time. Those are all acts of worship. We're not doing these things because we don't have other things to do. But this is the core to us. This is how we worship God. We worship God with all we are. Because all we are and all we have come from God. And so in my job, we're able to joyfully give. Because God loves a cheerful giver. The third thing was that makes worship acceptable to God is worship that is done in obedience. Worship that is done in obedience. Do you know the story as we just brushed over it this morning? The king. The words of the king is the law of the land. So that the king doesn't say please to anyone. The king says do it. And that's the law. If you break it, if you don't do it, well, you have yourself to blame. And so Herod looked at these men on their horses or donkey, and he says to them, hey, I heard about this king. How about you go, when you see him, come back to me. You're not saying go to one of my attendants. No. Come back to me. Report back to me. So I can go and worship him too. And you know, I guess we and I know that that was very deceptive, right? We were about to worship that little boy, that little baby coming to take his power. But these men went with that instruction. With that instruction, we have to report back to the king after we've seen the baby. Otherwise, this is a political issue we're talking about here. It's not like church thing, no. It's not God forgive us, no. Herod is feeling threatened. His reign is feeling threatened with the birth of another king that is going to be replace him on his throne. So what was happening here? If these guys knew Herod was looking forward to them to be his spies, to go and spy on this young baby so that he would just cut him off before he got out of hand. And so they were going with a straight mandate. Come back to me when you see him, and I will go and worship him myself too. But guess what? When they saw this baby and they were so excited and so joyful and cheerful, and they've given him the most precious gift probably of their life to him, then a voice came, very contrary to the king's voice and instruction. Do not return to him. Oh, now you're between two instructions, you have two powerful instructions. Which one would you take? Would you take that small, still voice that is ringing in your ear from someone that you don't even see? Or who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the one with whom you rub shoulders, probably not even close, but he has the power to eliminate you if you did not do what he told you to do? I'm reminded of scripture. And so the Magi had a decision to make here. But I don't think it was too high of a decision because they were being led by the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us the moment they got through with what they needed to do, the worship and other things, they returned the other way. They returned the other way that the small, still voice had told them to go. It was the voice of God. And so, I'm reminded of the scripture from the disciples, from the life of the disciples when they were in Jerusalem and they were all healing, they were performing miracles, and the Jerusalem council was really, really upset about what they were doing, and Peter and the other disciples were summoned by the council, the Jerusalem council, and they were told to stop preaching this man called Jesus. And they were arrested when they hesitated, when they refused to stop. And they took them before the council and asked them, "Didn't we tell you not to preach in this name?" Listen to their response. They said to the council, "We rather obey God than men." Who are we obeying? Who are you obeying as a follower? And we have to understand that these people were not playing. I mean, their lives were involved. Their lives were involved. If the council told you not to, this is the religious council that was responsible for the life of the church. But they said to them, Peter and the other disciples said to them, "We rather obey God." Why? John helped us to understand that greater is he that is in us, in you, than he that is in the world. Do we realize that? That is someone greater in us than anything else around us? You can look up those passages in 1 John 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's the source of our authority. When we worship God, we are affirming the power and authority of God over anyone else. We rather obey God than any human being whose existence is dependent on the grace of this God. So we have something that most people do not realize because they don't have. We have a God who is able, who is greater and more powerful than any power. Unless you believe it, it's not going to be made manifest in your life. So we are called to make that choice. Like the Elijah, who made the choice not to go back to hell. He said, "I'd rather obey God than to obey men." The same thing the disciples are saying to the high council in Jerusalem. We cannot stop. You can't stop us. Why? Because we are not under your authority. Believers are set free to serve Jesus Christ. Thank God for this country that we don't have to wrestle with those kinds of decisions. But yet, what is holding us back from sharing our faith? What is holding us back? That too many people are in the streets, they are not hearing the gospel. So that even in the midst of threats, the gospel was able to leave Israel. Paul says to the church in Ephesus that the mystery that was hidden from people in the past has been revealed to me. And that mystery is Jews and Gentiles are the same now because they all belong to Jesus Christ. That's the mystery. We have this mystery. What are we doing with it? Are we telling people out there that God loves them just as God loves us? Are we telling people out there that Jesus has a place for them? Or are we going by the temple's rule? Do not talk about your faith in public places. And be quiet. Even though the first among, how do you call that? First amendment says that you have freedom of speech. You can say anything to the president, but you can't talk about God. That's the challenge we have. We have to make that choice. But the Magi and the disciples demonstrated clearly to us that God would never abandon us if we took their stand. God did not abandon them. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and will forever be. We need to make a choice. Who do we learn from? Who do we obey? I'd rather obey God. Serve the Lord with joyful hearts. Serve the Lord with your substance, resources. Serve the Lord in obedience. Amen. Let's continue to pray for each other, and please take note of the joys and concerns section of your research. Let's pray for those concerns. The Lord will, I don't know if you knew this, June is not doing well, so we need to keep on in our prayer. Thursday, I was at the hospital. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for the world. There's a hard threat in the air about the U.S. bombing in Iraq. Let's pray for world peace. Sometimes we need to talk. The world is getting smaller and smaller. Yes. Yes. teachers. We're pushing them onto them. Let them go. Yeah. Go to school. That's right. Let's pray for safe travel. People are returning home. Let's pray for all of those. And not make here encourage us to do that even in the afternoon. Private prayer time. Yes, others. You want to say it louder? Pray for the church in Texas. What happened there? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well, let's pray for our church, our denomination, United Methodist denomination. Just last week, we have 16 members team advocacy group of the church. They met. They have come to a conclusion that they needed to do what they call graceful separation. Graceful amicable separation. So it's becoming clearer now that separation of the church is what we the founder to settle on. All of this discussion that is going to be in your head. So, grace for amicable separation. You're not a Methodist people, but that works. You let all this turn out into your soul. Sometimes you remember it all. But the key is, let's pray for our church. That we can all remain Christian. And so unto you, O God, we lift on all of these different concerns. There are so many. There are so many that we cannot name them all. But being a God who is all-seeing and who is also all-powerful, all-knowing, we lift them up unto you. You know each of us by name and by our circumstances. You know our world. You brought the world into being and all therein. We laid everything to the feet of your cross. Because that's where the solution lies. When all else have failed, when people have failed to even get along, Lord, you open your arms to us for reconciliation. So we pray for the United Methodist Church. We pray for those who have differences that will lead them to take arms, enter your place of worship and shoot. We pray, God, for those who woke up this morning at the sound of guns, some of whom have nothing, no fish to fry in those issues. Sometimes they are the most victims. We pray for them. We pray, God, for your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that it would begin with us, believers. Would you give us the courage to share for those who have not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray for those of our members who are sick. You are the healer. We pray for reach out, touch them, heal them, give them a testimony. It's always a joy when one member of our congregation comes out and says, I thank God for what God has done for me. It is your name. It is your glory. Please, have mercy on us. Let our worship of you be done with joy, be done with generous heart. Be done with God. Forgiveness to your word. Knowing that you have overcome. Nothing. taught us whenever we pray, we can pray with this verse. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory. Amen. If you are able and feel comfortable, may you rise for our closing hymn, 7:15. Jesus came into the world to bring joy to the world that is in cares and darkness and confusion and troubles that knows no joy. We have discovered that joy, that mystery. It is our duty, it is our calling to share. Go in peace, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abides and remains with each of us now and throughout 2020 year. In Jesus' name. Remember to stay for undecorating. We decorated now, we're coming in decorated. How are you, Ben?
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Wow. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yep.